This week is Parshas Kedoshim. Parshas Kedoshim is a normally we read it together with Parshas Acharei Mos, but this year they're read separately. Even though it's only three columns in the Sefer Torah, the average Parsha in the Sefer Torah is about five columns. Is that correct? So this is only three columns. It's a shorter Parsha, but yet it's jam packed with mitzvahs. In fact, one of the last.
Second most,
the first most.
He said.
The Baal HaTurim at the very end of the parasha mentions that there are 70. There are 70 mitzvahs.
Mishpatim is not second.
The Baal HaTurim at the end of the parasha mentions that there are 70. It could be there are different ways to calculate the mitzvahs, but the Baal HaTurim, this edition doesn't have the Baal HaTurim. But the Baal HaTurim at the end of Parashas Kedoshim says, the last Baal HaTurim says that Parashas Kedoshim has 70 mitzvahs. There's another Chazal that mentions that the Aseres HaDibros, all of the Aseres HaDibros are hinted to or mentioned explicitly here in the Parasha. So those. Okay, whatever it means, the Baal HaTurim doesn't, his interpretation is not the literal, it's not always okay. But the basic, okay, so the basic idea here is we have over here a very holy parasha. There are many in Yonim, 70 mitzvahs, obviously number 70 is a very significant number, and we have the Aseres HaDibros. The parasha is a jam-packed parasha. Also want to take note that this is the first parsha that we are laning in Chodesh, in the month of Iyar. Iyar historically has been for Klal Yisrael a very tragic month. Chodesh Iyar is the month when we all observe the Sfira. Whether you have the Nusach, where you count Sfira from the beginning, you count Sfira starting with Rosh Chodesh, but everyone agrees that the major bulk of Sfira, the time when the 24,000 Talmid of Rabbi Akiva were Nifter, took place in Chodesh year. What would Klal Yisrael be like today had those 24,000 Talmidim not died? It would have been a different world. And Rabbi Akiva, after he rebuilt, after the 24,000 Talmidim died, he rebuilt Klal Yisrael with five Talmidim. We can imagine what the world would have been like had we had those 24,000 Talmidim. Chodesh Iyar is also the month when the first crusade began. 1096 began in Chodesh Iyar, and that is why it is the custom to recite Af HaRachamim last week when you bench Chodesh Iyar. Even though you normally do not recite Af HaRachamim, we do recite Af HaRachamim in Chodesh Iyar due to the tragedy of the First Crusade. Now is not the time to go into the First Crusade, but the First Crusade wasn't just a one-time event. The First Crusade, the historians tell us, it completely changed the attitude of the Umos Olam towards Klal Yisrael. The First Crusade, it was the first time when there was mass genocide with the participation and the tolerance of the church and government. It was an entirely different type of tekufa after 1,000 years of Golus, which were relatively quiet. It was something which completely shook up Klal Yisrael that there could be something like the horror of Tach V'Tat. Historians tell us that there are very significant similarities between the Holocaust and the First Crusade. The attitude of church and state was all set into place almost 1,000 years before the Holocaust with the events of 1096. So we're dealing over here with a Chodesh of enormous tragedy that is beyond our understanding. Two major things just off the bat. These two things, the Talmidei Rabbi Akiva and Tach V'Tat. Yet it's interesting that now when we deal with Churban, we deal with destruction, Churban and Tsar, we learned not that long ago in Yirmiyah, we learned yesterday in Yirmiyah that there's a very disturbing pasuk in Yirmiyah that says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has separated himself from Klal Yisrael by giving her a get. Vo'etain Esefer kiri suseho eleho. I have given her, I've sent her away. Due to the fact, well, despite the fact that it's a part of the context of this passage, but that we mentioned over here that the Aseres Hashvatim have committed some horrible sins, and as a consequence, Hashem says, I have sent her away. I have given her a bill of divorce. There's nothing more frightening than such a pasuk. And we learned in the Radak says it's a contradiction because it says in Sefer Yeshaya, where Hashem says, I didn't give you a divorce. Eizeh Sefer Christos Imchem, Asher Shilachtia. Show it to me. Hashem says, where is your bill of divorce? How dare you think you can do whatever you want in this world? You're still my people. You're still married to me. Where is your bill of divorce? So we have this contradiction, but we do see from these two psukim that the spitz, that the extreme expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu expressing his anger with us is through this form of sending us away by writing for us the bill of divorce. Yet what's very interesting is that there is in Minog Yisrael that a get is not given in Chodesh Iyar, unless it's an extreme emergency. Gitin are not Shulchan Aruch, Shulchan Aruch. A get, women are not divorced in the month of Iyar. And the tech, and the, no, why Cheshvan? That we do know about Cheshvan. Mar, no, I never heard that. Only Iyar. You have to look at Shulchan Aruch, only Iyar. Why? Because we're not, the technical reason is because we do not know how to spell Iyar. Is it with a Yud, two Yuds, or one Yud? Cheshvan is not Mar Cheshvan. That's Mar, just an appendage. Haloi Davar. Now, besides the technical reason why we don't give a get in Chodesh Iyar, there's also nothing happens by accident. There is a Hashkocha. And the Hashkocha is that even though it appears that we're now in a Tkufa, in a Zaman of harshness, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is expressing Hester Panim, V'Anochi Haster Aster Panai, and the worst events of history have taken place in this Tkufa, yet Hashem also, B'Hashkocha Pratis, there's no get. Hashem is also making a statement, Eizeh Sefer Christos Imchem Asher Shilachtiha. Show me the get. Just because I'm punishing you, I'm letting you suffer by the Umos Olam, does that mean that I'm completely abandoned you? Show me the get. In this month, there is no such thing as Gitin, because you're mine. You're still mine. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have to have emunah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though at times deals with us harshly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there is a degree of Hester upon him. We have to acknowledge the other side, that it's all we have emunah that it's all for our good. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking to us in this month, like we learned in Yirmiyah, Eizeh Sefer Kri Simchem. Don't go give me the other pasuk. Vo'etein es Sefer Kri Susecha Elecha. Don't think because I'm punishing you, I've given you a bill of divorce. Not so. There is no divorce in this month. This is an interesting message, and this is, I think, an interesting idea relating to the Chodesh. Also, along those lines, I came across something very interesting yesterday. The end of this parasha of Kedoshim is something that is evil. Something which we would not typically assume that we can conclude with. The last pasuk of the parasha is V'ish, Aisha, Ki Yevohem Oiv Oyidoini. If they're guilty of these forms of communication with the dead, divination, necromancy, most Yumasu, Bo'evin Yigrimu Oysam Dinehem Bam. Now, if you would ask the average person, are you allowed to stop the Aldavar Ra? If you're a Gabbai, and you have to make Hoysafas, you have to really know your Chumash. You have to know where you're allowed to stop, where you're allowed to start. You're not allowed to start with something that's Ra, and you're not allowed to stop with something that's Ra. So yet, the parasha ends with seemingly something which is horrible. We're dealing over here with death. There's nothing more horrible than mos yumosu. How be'evin yirgumo sam dimehem bam. Now the truth is, this is not the only parasha that ends with, there are three parashios that end with the dovara. And if you want to say a fourth, you want to talk about Choron vayamos Choron terach the Choron. So then you can say a fifth, but you can say another parasha. You say ka Kaddish for him afterwards, so it's not so bad after you finish the Farsha. So that's the old joke. But the question is, why if Chazal is so makbid on us not to be Messiah Bidovara, how can it then be that we do find that this Parsha ends Bidovara in addition to at least two other Parshios? So the answer I saw given is very interesting. There's a difference between the breaks, the Aliyos, between where we break the Aliyos and where we end the Parsha. The end of the Parsha is the break. The Parshios are divided, the 54 sections are Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai. No one came along, no human being came along, at least this is our tradition, and decided how to break up the Torah into 54 sections. This was handed down the Mesorah going back Mi-Sinai. It was broken up the 54 Parshios. On the other hand, the Aliyos, the seven Aliyos that we take each parasha and we break them, this was done by Chazal. Chazal on their own. It was not Mi-Sinai. It was done by Chazal. And the proof is that if you want to go and change the Aliyos, you can do so. You can do so. There are different rules of when you can change the Aliyos to divide them up into different. We group together two parashios sometimes. We need to make a Sophos. You can break it up. The message is that something that's broken up by a human being, we are limited in our understanding of the events. So we only can be Messiahim and start Bedovar, something which appears to us as being good. But when from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's perspective, the parasha ends, that is a division that was created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. By HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's no such thing as Ra. There's no such thing as evil by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. From Hashem, evil does not go forth. It's all good. It's just that we are limited in our understanding of why this is good, why this is not right. We make a bracha, Dayan Ho'emes, for bad news, and Toiv HaMeite for good news. But La'asilava, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will reveal to us that everything is really a blessing in disguise, then Chazal say, we'll make a Toiv HaMeite even for what appears to be this now bad news. This idea is captured in the way the Aliyos are broken up versus the Parshios being broken up. A Parsha being broken up can end with something which appears to be evil, because the location where the Parsha end was decided by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's no such thing as evil. It's just we don't understand it. The Aliyos, on the other hand, are divided up by human beings, by Chachamim, human beings. And therefore, we are limited in our understanding. We only can make HaTayva HaMetiv for something that appears to us to be good, and only die in something that's not good. So therefore, the Aliyos are broken up only where things appear to be good. Okay, let's go to another idea. What?
I'm focused only by one parasha, though.
Yeah.
By Midbar and Nosso, that says the parasha really ended by Midbar, by Shavi, because of the sea.
Right. I remember that. Okay, that's a Shema.
But parsha that also ends.
Right. So it's also not. It's not a good thing at the end. Because that's a discussion. That's a discussion. Exactly. Where we end is the correct location. Maybe we confused it.
The only one.
Okay. Now let's go to. Let's begin some of the ideas in the parsha. Some short ideas. Daber. Do we have a sitter over here by any chance? Do we have a sitter? Yes. Do we have a sitter? Maybe we got a sitter here. Okay, the parasha begins. Daber el v'yamar toliem kidoshim tiyu ki kadosh ani Hashem lokeichem. Chazal, it's not here in Rash, but the Gemara says kidoshim tiyu. Hashem says, I want you to be holy, but don't make any mistake and think that your holiness, if you succeed in becoming holy, that your holiness will equal the holiness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The pasuk concludes at the end, Ki kodosh ani Hashem Elokeichem. You can be as holy as you want, but you have to acknowledge that when the day is over, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's holiness is above and beyond your holiness. This is the Maimon Chazal. One more time. Kidoshim tihiyu. Hashem demands of us that you be holy. And if you succeed, you should be proud. But don't make believe and think that your holiness equals that of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ki kodosh ani Hashem Elokeichem. My holiness is above and beyond anything that you can possibly possibly fathom. I believe this idea is hinted to in something that we say, well, it gets insight into the Nusach HaTzilah, something we say every single day in Ashrei Uvolitzion. Ashrei Uvolitzion, we mention that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is holy three times. Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. We say this multiple times, of course. We say this in the Kedusha of Shemon Eshrei. We say this in Birchas Kriyashma. But we elaborate upon this theme in Ashrei Uvolitzion. We say the Karaz Zal Zev Yamar Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzivakos Molo Chol Aretz Kivado. And then the Targum explains the precise translation of the words Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. If you would not know this Targum, you would think it means Hashem, you're super duper holy. Right? There's Kodesh, Kadosh, and there's a double dosage, and there's a triple dosage. So it's a super duper dosage of Kedusha. That's not what it means. What it means, there are three different types of Kedusha. And the Targum explains, the first Kedusha is a Kedusha in Shemayim, a spiritual Kedusha. U'mekablein dein min dein, the Malachim, they receive permission from one another, v'yomrin, and they recite, Kaddish, Hashem is holy, b'shmei miroma ilo'o b'shechintei, in his heavenly abode. Hashem's holiness is present in the abode that's above this world in Shemayim. And then we focus on the second Kadosh, Kaddish. Hashem is also holy, al ara, upon the earth. And the earth is Ovad Givurte, it is the product of his power. This earth is the creation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It is described here as the product of Hashem's Gevura. Hashem's holiness can be found here in this mundane world. And the third Kadosh is Kaddish, Le'olam u'le'olmei omaya. Hashem is holy in Zman. There's sanctity in time. So therefore the Targum is telling us there are three types of holiness. There's a holiness in spiritual matters, in Shemayim. There's a holiness on this earth. And there's a holiness in time. Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Notice there is a reference to three whole forms of holiness in the opening of this week's parasha. Kidoshim tihiyu. Kidoshim is b'loshon rabim. That's two. Kidoshim tihiyu. And then it concludes ki kadosh ani Hashem Elokeichem. A singular usage of the word kadosh in reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we just quoted the Chazal that break up the pasuk into two parts. Hashem says to Klal Yisrael, I demand of you Kedusha. And that Kedusha refers to everything mentioned in this parasha. Rashi says specifically refers to Arayos, the parasha of Arayos, so on and so forth. But then Hashem says, just because you will succeed in bringing upon yourself Kedusha, you should be aware that the Kedusha of the Ribbono Shel Olam, don't fool yourself, is above and beyond anything you can come to. Ki Kedusha Ani Hashem Elokeichem. How then will we divide up these three levels of Kedusha based upon what it says in the Targum? Well, it makes sense, because the first two Kedushos represent Kedusha in Shemayim and Kedusha upon this earth. We know that this is our obligation. Our duty in this world is to synthesize spirituality with this world. To take a Dover Gashmi, to take a product of the earth, to make a bracha, asher kidushan b'mitzvos v'sivanu, to live a life of derech eretz, and to infuse a life of derech eretz with kedusha, which comes from Shemayim. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu demands from us. Kidoshim tihiyu, take the kedusha in Shemayim, take the earth, the kedusha that's to the potential Kedusha that is in earth, and synthesize, bring together Kedusha of Ruchnis, Kedusha of Gashmis. This is what you are here for in this world. But there's one thing you should realize, that you do not have Kedusha, and that is the Kedusha of Zman. We are limited in this world. Our time is limited. We do not have the ability to control time. We can't speed up time. We can't slow it down. We can't go back in time. We can't go forward in time. Time is sequential. Time is serial. We don't have any koyach of Zman. Zman, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is something, the Kedush of Zman is unique. Ki kodosh ani Hashem Elokeichem. Hashem is the only being that is infinite in Zman. By HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Zman is a whole different dimension. Hashem is forever. Hashem sees the past. Hashem sees the future. Hashem sees the present. We we are not in the world of sanctity in Zman. Of course, I know we have Mekadesh Yisrael v'Hazmanim, and we have Yom Tif, but that's a different type of, that's a different dimension. But it's very interesting that you take these two, the Targum, and you take the very popular Maamar Chazal, you put them together, there seems to be some consistency, some overlap, some bayer in this pasuk. Daber el b'neis, da'koladas b'neis shol v'mat aliyem, what is your role in this world? Your role is not to construct a time machine. That's not your problem. You're not here to go into the time machine business. I know it's very popular in science fiction. I personally, I'm almost swept away in these types of science fiction time machine things. I find it to be fascinating, but it's not very practical. What's practical is kedoshim to you is a double kedusha, kadosh kadosh. The first two levels of kedusha, you focus in this world on ruchnius and gashmius. In Ruchnius, of course, learning Torah, davening, it's kula Ruchni. But in Gashmius, this Kedusha on this earth, Adavar Shebegashmi, there's also Kedusha. Open up the Kedusha, infuse it with Kedusha, discover the Kedusha. You want to find Kedusha, you want to be like the Ribbon Shlelem of Le'olam, Uli Olmeil Naya, to understand, Hoya, Hoya V'yeh, that's not for you in this world. Ki Kodosh, the third reference of Kedusha, Ki Kodosh Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Kedushasi L'mayla Mi Kedushaschem. That's the third Kedusha of the series of Kodosh, Kodosh, Kodosh. Okay, let's go to another idea. The parasha begins with the word Daber El Kol Adas Dinei Yisrael. I saw one of the commentators, he makes mention that there's only one other place in Chumash where a mitzvah was given to the entire Adas. It was Nemer Bahakal. Rashi really mentions the concept, Melamed, being that it says here, the parasha opens with the word Adas, Melamed Shenemra Parasha Zo, this parasha, all of the matters, the 70 mitzvos, right? That's what it says, all of the 70, at least according to the calculation of the Baal HaTurim, was said Bahakel in an assembly, and it was said Bahakel in an assembly. Everyone was told to come together. Why? Why was it necessary? Why couldn't we be briefed through email, through fax? Why couldn't we just get a summary, get a kuntres of all the laws that are necessary? Why was it necessary for everyone to assemble and to listen to Moshe Rabbeinu? So Rashi says some very powerful words, Mibnei Sheroiv Gufei Torah Tuluyin Ba. Because the vast majority of the Gufei Torah, the essence of the Torah, are rooted in the things that are going to be discussed in this parsha. What is the bulk? What is the bulk of what's discussed in this parsha? At least according to Rashi, the Eker Kedusha is the parsha of Arayos, the parsha of forbidden relations. To know your limits, you know your boundaries. Different relatives, whether it's uncles, aunts, sister, mother, child, Isha, two sisters, of course, Eshes Ish, all of these are the issues, and that's what Rashi goes on to say, Kedoshim to you, have a Purusha Minho Arayos, U Minho Avera, Shekol Mokom Shatamotse, Geder Erva Atamotse Kedusha. Isha Zoyna V'Chalala, okay, he goes on to give all different examples, and the vast majority of these things relate to matters of Arayos. The only other place in Chumash where we have a mitzvah that was given in Behakel is the Korban Pesach. Back in Parshas Bo, the parsha begins, Vayomer Hashem Moshe V'Aaron V'Yeritam Leimer HaChodesh Lechem Rosh Chodashim Rishu Lechem Lechodesh Hashan. Okay, first thing first is HaChodesh Lechem. And then Hashem says to Moshe V'Aaron, Dabru El Kol Adas Yisrael Leimar. I want you and Aaron to assemble the entire Klal Yisrael and tell them the following mitzvah. Be'asar L'chodesh Hazeh, on the 10th day of this month, V'ichu Lechem Ish Selevetz Avos Selabayis, everyone in Klal Yisrael shall take a sheep per family and get ready for the Korban Pesach. So the obvious question is, what do these two mitzvahs have in common? What do Arayos, Daber el kol kedoshim ti, which Rashi tells us kedoshim is the geder erva, it's the geder ikar, even though there are many mitzvot, but the kedoshim ti is the geder erva, arayos, and Korban Pesach, what do they have to do with each other, in that these are the only two mitzvot in the entire Chumash which were taught the hakel, adas, the hakel, and Rashi tells us the significance of hakel is, sheroiv gufei ha-Torah Tuluyin Ba. I think the answer is obvious. Both of these things deal with Mishpacha. The critical mitzvah of Korban Pesach is Ish Se Leves Ovois Se Labois. Family first. You have a family. You have a Korban Pesach. Who's going to be in your chavura? Who's in your group? Your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, your cousins. An animal, a seh, you can get a big seh. As I'll say, time of the Bais Rishon, the sheep were as big as camels. That's how big they were. They were humongous. You got a sheep, you got to have the whole extended family comes. That's what it says. Seh leves ovois, seh labois. What? That's what it says in the Medrash. Today, that's what it says. It says that. That's what it says. It says they would put them on camel. Their legs came all the way down to the ground like camels. They were humongous. Humongous. And that was for... And what's the purpose of the Korban Pesach? The family comes together. Achdus in the family. What is Parshas Kedoshim all about? Know your limits. Don't get too close to your family members. Don't get too close to your mother. Don't get too close to your daughter. Don't get too close to the stepfather, the stepmother, to the stepfather, to this uncle, this aunt, to two sisters. Family, it's all about, don't ruin someone else's family. That's for sure. Ish is ish. Adultery, don't ruin someone else's family. It's all about family. It's knowing your limits. Of course, there are technical halachas, but what is the message? What do you derive? What do you extract from the technical halachas? Don't get too close. Know your limits. So what do we have here? We have here a big picture. Two mitzvot that were taught by Hakel. Roiv gufei ha-Torah tuluyim ba. You have to know the rules of the mishpacha. Klal Yisrael is a mishpacha. It's one big mishpacha. Yaakov Leves, Yaakov came down to Mitzrayim, 70 souls. It was one mishpacha. From that one mishpacha come 600,000 members of Klal Yisrael. Roiv Gufei HaTorah are dependent on properly understanding when to come close to your family, Ish Sel Leves Ova Sel Abayis, and when to know to distance yourself from your family. The rules of the relationships in your own mishpacha is the guiding light for Klal Yisrael. This is the message of Parshas Kedoshim together with Parshas, and you see it true. Unfortunately, we see what goes on in the world of the Hasidim, what goes on and divisions and subdivisions of Machlokes and this piece. Okay, we all know from our own experience, family first. I remember when I was in rabbinic training years ago, there was a rabbi, he got up and he said, what are you going to do? Following scenario, all the young rabbis in training, what are you going to do when you're in a shul, a very chashuv, a shul, you have a very good position, and it's June, it's the end of June, the middle of June, and one of the main balabatim who supports the shul, his daughter is getting married. His daughter is getting married out of town, and you're invited, and then he comes to you and he says he wants you to come to the wedding, he's going to pay for the ticket, and you're going to be the Masadir Kedushin, and this is, this member, he's the chairman of the board of the shul, he's also chashuv, a member of this beautiful shul, and then you look at your calendar and you realize that very night your son is having his 8th grade graduation. So what are you going to do? Are you going to go out of town to California to the royal wedding, to the grand wedding, the wedding of the century, to serve as the Mesader Kiddushin and to receive all the kavod, and of course to be Mechabe, the Balabas, this is the Balabas who pays your check? Or are you going to go around the corner to the graduation in the basement, around the corner, in some basement somewhere, some boring graduation where no one's going to anyway pay attention and listen to the speeches? So he said, this rabbi, he says, it's a tough question. What are you going to do? It's a tough question, right? What are you going to do in this situation? So he said, let me give you some advice. He says, the day will come when the shul will throw you out. The day will, you'll go to the wedding. The day will come when they won't renew your contract and you'll have a fight with this one and that one and you'll be...
throw you out and then your son throw you out.
and you'll be left. You'll be left without a shul. It's just a matter of time. All shuls are the same. It's just a job. It's just a job. The day will come. They'll let you go. They'll give you severance. They won't give you severance. You'll part on good terms. You won't part on good terms. You get a better job. And you'll, and all of the balabatim will be just a distant memory. Halavai, it should only be distant memory. There shouldn't be bitter enemies, right? It will be just a memory. But your son,
right.
Your son, he'll never forget. Your little boy there, who you think, what does he know? What does this little kid know? What does this little kid know? 13-year-old kid know about? I didn't come to his graduation. He will never forget. He'll never forget. Never forgive you for not coming to his 8th grade graduation to watch him get the reward for the best basketball player. He's not going to forget. In other words, he was trying to impress upon the people who were training to be Rabbanim, family first. Don't make that mistake. Many Rabbanim make that mistake. They become part of an institution, part of something important. That's a very big nisayon, but you have to always remember family first. This parsha here is telling us davar sheroiv gufei toira tiluyin ba. Everyone knows on their own. Everyone knows. Everyone family is different, but it's a powerful lesson. It's the only two mitzvahs where it says adas b'nei Yisrael, Karban Pesach. Come together as a family. Ish selaves ovos selaboyis. Arayos, don't get too close. You got to know your limits in the mishpacha. There has to be balance. Don't mishacharayim where you don't belong in the family. You got to be careful when to speak up and when to mind your own. But sometimes your own family, we all know this. You can't talk. If it was someone else, you can bang them over the head. You can do whatever you want. Your own family, it's a whole different league. You got to know it's a very delicate balance. Okay, let's go to another idea. This idea, I'm sure I told you in the past, but it's a favorite of mine from the Reish Sharaf. It's a powerful vart. Maybe we'll add a little new nukuda from something that we learned about yesterday. And that is the mitzvah, the parasha begins, Ish imo v'aviv tirahu v'esh shap seisai tishmoiru. We learn about the mitzvah being moira, fearing your mother and father. And Rashi explains, Rashi takes note that there's a discrepancy between what it's, not a discrepancy, but there's a difference of order between what it says here and what it says in the Aseres Hadibros. And the Aseres Hadibros, there the focus is kovoid, kabeid es ovicha v'yasimecha. Here in Kedoshim it says, ish imo v'yaviv tiro. First, the focus is not honor, the focus is reverence, fear, reverence, awe. And instead of the order being father first, here the order is mother first. And Rashi explains, being that here we're dealing with awe, it is human nature for a child to fear his father more than his mother. Therefore, to compensate, the Torah puts the mother first. Kavod, it's human nature for a child to give honor to the mother more than the father, because the mother always provides the child with delicacies, treats. Therefore, to compensate, the Torah says, give honor to your father before your mother. So the Reish Rav says, that's pshat, but there's a drush. The drush is, we simply understand that the two parts of the pasuk are instructions. I left at one point. After it says, ish imo v'yav tirahu, then it concludes, v'es shab soisai tishmoiru. And the pshat, Rashi gives us the pshat, what's the juxtaposition? To tell us that if, let's say, your parent will tell you to mechal Shabbos, maybe you'll think that they're, since they're a partner in creation, so maybe if they tell you that they want you to be mechal Shabbos, you should listen to them. No. V'esh shab sasai tishmaru kulchem chayav b'chvoidi. Your parents are also obligated to observe the Shabbos. You're not allowed to be mechal Shabbos in order to fear or honor your mother or father. That's why the two are juxtaposed. That's the pshat. Now let's take a step back. In the Aseres Hadibros, the Torah is one of the only two places where the Torah gives a reward for a mitzvah. Kabeid es avich v'yasimecha. And there's a difference between the first set of dibros, the second set, if it says with liyitav, but it says, one thing it does, it says there will be a blessing of the harachta yamin. You'll merit arichas yamin, leman, man yibu yimech al huadama, Asher Hashem Elokecha Nosim Lach. There's going to be a blessing of a long life. Here it is. Okay, Shab Kadi Lamech Laman Yarichun Yamecha Al Hodam Asher Hashem Elokecha Nosim Lach. Okay, fine. So the Reish Rav says that's pshat, but there's a Jewish. The Jewish is when the pasuk includes v'yesh shab soisai tishmoiru, it's not telling you, it's not giving you, it's not a command. It's a reward. Just like in the Aseres Hadibros, the pasuk explicitly gives you the reward for giving cover to your father. Kabedes v'yesnech, what is the reward? The reward is l'man yarichun yamecha. Likewise, Ish imo the aviv tirahu, if you will fear your mother and father, I will reward you. How will I reward you? I'll give you the opportunity to observe multiple Shabbosos. In other words, you'll have a long life, and you'll observe Shabbos many times. The S, if you'll give, if you'll fear your mother and father, then the reward is the S, Shabsoi Sai Tishmoiru. You'll have the opportunity to observe hundreds, thousands of Shabbosos. You'll live a very long life. Now the question over here is, that's the basic idea from the Reish Rav. That was just the end. We explained this last time as well. Why is the reward in the parasha of Aseres Hadibros defined with Laman Yarichun Yomecha, long days, whereas here the way the reward is described is with Shabbosos? And the answer is, Shabbos is not just an ordinary day. Shabbos is a day of quality. Shabbos is a day of spirituality. L'man ya'arichun yamecha kimi, look, you live a long life. You live a long life, but what are you going to do the whole day? Watch television, go online, read books. What are you going to do with your time? Sometimes having a long life is not necessarily in the person's best interest if he does not know how to take advantage and use that time to do mitzvos, not to squander it to do things which he's not going to be proud of. Achameyev Eshem. So the difference is, that's the difference between kavod and moira. What is kavod? Kavod is simply paying the bills. Kavod is food, provide clothing, provide shelter, provide the person's needs. You do nice things. It doesn't necessarily show your feeling, your appreciation for the person. This is my parent. I have a duty to provide them with shelter. I have a duty to provide them with food. So I write out a check, I have an aid, I have this, I have that. Okay, everything is taken care of. Moira is a different league. Ish, imo, the aviv, tirohu, reverence, respect. It's not just a physical action you do A, B, and C. You show your mind is with the program. This is my father. When he walks in the room, I stand up. I don't sit in his place. I don't contradict his words. It's a different league. Moira represents a person's emotions, his feelings, his understanding of where he stands relative to his father. It's a qualitative difference. Therefore, the reward is on a different level of quality. The reward for Moira, for reverence, you're going to live long, but you're not going to just live a lot of Tuesdays. You're not going to live a lot of Wednesdays when they'll serve fleishiks. You're going to live Shabbosois, v'yesh Shabbosai tishmoru. You're going to have a life of quality, a life of kedusha. That's a wonderful thing. You give honor, you provide food, shelter, you take care of them. But that's just something physical. So if we're doing something physical, so you'll also have physical life. Leman yarichun yamecha. You'll have many long days. But doesn't speak about the quality of the days. The two of these things here come together. Okay, that's the
idea. Extra quality.
That's Moira. Moira, Rashi here defines it for us. Rashi defines Moira as state. Kibbut is clothing, food, shelter. And the truth is, you're not even mechuyav to use your money. Only you use the money of the parents.
Right.
But it's something which is physical, something which you give. Moira is standing, things that don't cost any money. Standing, not contradicting their words, not to sit in their place. It's a whole different league.
Quality, why?
I was minded to him. That's what he says, because the one thing women, the Torah recognized you gave up of your time also.
Not you gave, right, it's Mida Keneged Mida. For Mida Keneged Mida, you live long, but it doesn't speak about the quality. Here we're talking about quality. Now I just want to answer, I'm going off the topic now, and I'm not telling, this is not a complete idea, just that we learned this yesterday, so it just sits on the top of my mind. We learned yesterday, we learned today as well, Eretz Yisrael is called Eretz Chemda. It's Eretz Chemda. It's a land of desire. We took note yesterday of Rabbi Shur writes that it's something to take note of that in the Aseres Hadibros we find Chemda. Lo Sachmot. We mentioned yesterday there are seven different items in the Aseres Hadibros that one is what is commanded not to covet. Lo Sach, seven. So we said that Eretz Yisrael Eretz Yisrael is described as land of chenda. So basically, what Rabbi Shur said is zel umazeh. There is a loisachmoy that is a type of chenda that is ill, that is forbidden, that is evil, and then there is a chenda that is good. It's Eretz Yisrael is Eretz chenda. It's a land where you can fulfill the chenda. All of the items of chenda, what they represent. The symbolic representation of what they represent in Lois Sachmoid can be fulfilled in an oifan of heter in Eretz Yisrael, because Eretz Yisrael is Eretz Chemda. So I saw yesterday something very interesting, because it talks about Kibbutz Avraham. So I saw yesterday that we know that the Aseres Hadibros are not just read down, they are read across. Anochi corresponds to Lois Sirtzach. Now let's just focus on the last. Kabeid es avicha v'yasimecha, to what does that correspond to? That corresponds to lo sachmot. And what I read this in a journal type of sefer where he's like a psychological analysis. I didn't really understand what he was saying. He said they have done studies that people, how do they relate? People who have good relationships. This is a study. People who have good relationships with their parents, with their family, are very unlikely to be guilty of theft, of all of the violations of lo sachmod. They are. We don't find in society, the statistics show that they're not criminal. The people who are criminals or are in violation of all the lo sachmods, when you interview them, you will discover they sorely lack in the midst of kabedes avicha v'yasimecha. So in this sefer, I don't remember the name of the sefer, he's trying to show that you read it across. Kabedes avicha v'yasimecha is directly related to lo sachmod. Now it just got me thinking, now that we know lo sachmod relates to Eretz Yisrael, it's also important to note that from all of the Tayag mitzvahs, in fact, the Rambam does not list, Eretz Yisrael, today is Hey Iyar, does not list Yishuv Eretz Yisrael as one of the Tayag mitzvahs, which the other many HaMitzvahs are very disturbed. The Rambam wasn't a Zionist. The Rambam didn't celebrate Hey Iyar. How could it be the Rambam did not list Yishuv Eretz Yisrael as one of the Tayag mitzvos? The Ramban does, Smag does, all of the Moini HaMitzvos, those who count the mitzvos, it's one of the Ikarim. So there are many answers. But one of the popular answers that at least resonates with me is that there's two categories of mitzvos. There's mitzvos of Moshe Rabbeinu. In fact, when the Rambam begins the mitzvos, he says, these are the Tayag mitzvos that were given to us by Moshe Rabbeinu. And then there's a mitzvah that comes from the Ovos. Eretz Yisrael is not of the Tayag mitzvos, l'fi the Rambam, because it's a mitzvah that comes down from Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. The Tayag mitzvos are from Moshe Rabbeinu. It's a different league. This is a Yerusha from the Ovos. So now, when we focus on Kabeid es avicha v'yasimecha, it takes on a whole new league. Kabeid es avicha v'yasimecha on a very simple level means your parents, your mother, your father, or one of your parents. One of those three. Right? Kabeid es avicha v'yasimecha. But in the bigger picture of things, I am panim l'Torah, have an appreciation from where you come from. Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Leah, Kabiris Avicha V'yasimecha. Yisrael, it's Eretz Yisrael. Yisrael is Rashi Tevos of Avraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov, Rachel. You repeat some of the letters. Sar, Rivka, Rachel. All the letters of the Avos and the Imos are in the word Yisrael. It's the land of the Avos. Kabed es Avicha V'yasimecha. Kabed, have an appreciation. Have an appreciation for the Avos and the Imos. And what's the next thing? And what's you read the Aseres Hadibros horizontally. What do you read? Then comes Losachmot. Losachmot, as we explained, is a code to some degree for Eretz Yisrael. There's the negative and the positive. They're both called Eretz Chemda. Again, so you see this relationship. Again, this is not a complete idea, but you see this something here. We explain that there's only two places where we find Chemda and Eretz Yisrael, in Lo Sachmot. Eretz Yisrael is the land of the Avos, Kabeda Savicha V'yasimecha. If you fulfill your Kabeda Savicha V'yasimecha, you will have an Eretz Yisrael. You will have an outlet, a healthy outlet of Chemda. If you mechaber, you have an appreciation for Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and you give Eretz Yisrael, mimela, you'll have the Eretz Chemda. If you'll have the Eretz Chemda, Toivu or Rechava, you'll have a healthy outlet for the Chemda. You're not going to be nichshal in Loi Sachmoid. It's not going to be an issue, Loi Sachmoid, Shoreach, Eshreach, because a person has needs. We all know that. And you have to have a healthy, permissible outlet for those needs. And if you don't have that outlet in a permissible fashion, it's going to manifest itself in a forbidden fashion somewhere else. If you mechabe the savicha v'yasimecha, and that explains also very well, why does it say the Ari Chasyam will be in Eretz Yisrael? This always bothered me, until I learned this idea. You mechabe your parents. So the bracha that it says in the Aseres Hadibros, L'man Yerichu Yimecha, Al Ho Adama. Why only Eretz Yisrael? You mechaber your parents in Japan. You're not going to be zecher to Ari Chasyamim. Why is there an emphasis that the bracha will be leman yarichun yomecha al ho'adama? Ki b'ravo aim gives you Eretz Yisrael, because it doesn't only refer to your mother, your father. It refers to the big picture, the ovois. The Avos. And what is the Yerusha, the one mitzvah, Lefi Rambam, that we have a mitzvah from the Avos? Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is the Eretz Chemda, Tzvi Tzvois, Hagoyim, that we learned today. Eretz Chemda. And when you have this permissible local place, ability to express the Chemda and the Eretz HaChemda, Mimela, read across in the Aseres Hadibros. It's a piece of cake. Lo Sachmoid, I won't be Nichshol. Lo Sachmoid, Eishreyecha, Shoreyecha, Beishreyecha, Shoreyecha, Avoyed, Vechamor, Vechol HaShem L'Reyecha. It's a non-issue, because indeed these two ideas, these two, they go together. And furthermore, just to conclude this idea, now when it comes to Ish, Imo V'Yaviv Tirohu, if now take this idea from the Reish Rav further, now that we're applying this idea of Kibud Av V'Em to Eretz Yisrael, if you'll not only appreciate the Avos as our grandpa, okay, Avraham, but we'll look at the Avos with Moira, the Avos HaKedoshim with Moira, then there's a bracha, the Es Shap Soisai Tishmoiru. Eretz Yisrael, over and over again in Tanakh and Chazal, is v'shavsa, that is the shmita and the yovelis. Why was Eretz Shochar for 70 years? Because there were 70 shmita yovelis. Shmitois. There were 70 shmitois that were not observed. So Hashem had to make it back. Hashem had to give the land rest. Hashem had to give the land to make up for the 70 shmitois that were violated. Hashem gave it back during the 70 years of Galus. If you will have an appreciation of reverence for Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Ish, Imo v'aviv tirahu, you look at the Avos, look at the Yerusha they gave you in Eretz Yisrael, not only will you live in the land like it says in the Aseres Hadibros, leman yarichun yemecha alhu adam asher Hashem lokecha notznach, you live in the land, you have a good land, you'll observe the land with kedusha utvetahara, eshap soisai, you'll observe shemitah, You'll have the opportunity, the reward of living Eretz Yisrael with the Shemitah and Yovlos and the full Kedusha that comes with Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so this is idea, Reish Rav. Yeah?
Is considered
Anosher
one of those mitzvahs that came down from Yovlos? Yet I think
The Rambam, but it's part of the Tayag mitzvahs, because that is a mitzvah which was given again. That's the Zion mitzvahs b'nei Noach, even though they were given at the time of the Avos, but by Moshe Rabbeinu, he gave them all over again. They were been renewed, and in fact, the halachos. We don't have Ginoshim later on. We don't have it later on in the Torah. We don't have it, but in Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam, it's included in the Tayag mitzvahs of Moshe Rabbeinu, which means we have a tradition that it was given again. It was given again with a new set of rules. So it's Enoch Nami, it's not part of what the things that were given from before Matan Torah. But according to the Rambam, there's one thing that was not given again. One thing remains, and it's the original form, and that is Kibush Aretz. Yishuv Haaretz, Kibush Aretz, is in its purest form dating back to Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. Okay, that is this idea. Reward and how we apply it to Eretz Yisrael in the Aseres Hadibros. Okay, let's go to another idea. Let's talk about the idea of Orla. We have in this week's parasha the mitzvah of Orla. The first 3 years, the person is not allowed to derive benefit from the fruit. The fourth year is called Neter Revai. Neter Revai is pretty much the same thing as Maisa Sheni. You have to take the fruits of the fourth year of a tree, bring it up to Yerushalayim, and in Yerushalayim, if you cannot carry the fruit of the tree from the fourth year to Yerushalayim, then you can redeem it. You can redeem it and take the money up to Yerushalayim. And then the Torah, after telling us about Orla and Neter Revai, tells us the law of the fifth year. And this seems to be something a little bit strange. Okay, let me find the pasuk. V'chisovo el aretz, unetatem koletz machal, you'll plant a new tree. Va'araltem orlo soes pirio, you shall treat as forbidden its fruit. For how long? Shaloshonim. 3 years. Yelochem arelim lo yochel. Uvashon haharvis, the fourth year. Excellent. You've made it to the fourth year. Take those fruits. You have an obligation to go to Yerushalayim, eat in the wool in Yerushalayim. Yeh kol pir yokodesh. Hilulim l'Hashem. Prayer of praise. Holiness of praise. Then it says, Uvashana hachamishis tochlu es pir. Then you're done. In the fifth year, it's business as usual. You don't have to go to Yerushalayim. The fruit's not aser. Just carry on like nothing ever happened. And you'll receive a blessing where you will eat more tefua ani Hashem Elokeichem. And here's the question. The question is, why is it necessary for the pasuk to tell us about the fifth year? In fact, you learn in Mishnayis. If you take out of Mishnayis, Mesechta, Orla, there's no mention of the fifth year. There's the first 3 years, there's Neter Revai. I think in Masechta Maisa Shin, there's also mentioned Neter Revai. There's the first 3 years, and there's the fourth year. If the Torah would not mention anything about the fifth year, it would leave out, you leave its fruit, and in the fifth year Hashem will add, He will give a blessing to the fruit, where the fruit will produce more. I don't think we would have noticed the difference. Let me read Rashi. Hamitzvah zos tishmuti lohoisif tuvoso. Hamitzvah zos shetishmeru tia lohoisif lochem tuvosoi shebeschara ani mevarich lochem peros hanetia. Period. Hayav b'kiva oimer dimitor k'neged yetzara shloyom adam ani hari arba shonim ani mitzdar bo chino v'chama nemar lohoisif lochem tuvosoi ani Hashem. Okay, reward. Okay, it's not unique to this mitzvah. Dibre Torah k'neged
Yetzahara. But you would think, my gosh, I have to give up 4 years.
After the fact that we have this pasuk, so now we make this analysis. Rashi's telling us, so you're getting an extra bracha, but if the pasuk would not mention this extra bracha, we could probably figure out there'll be a bracha from many other sources. The Torah here is going out of its way and telling us what appears to be pretty obvious. If you do Hashem's mitzvot, you get bracha. I know, I saw the midrash. There are midrash in that a person, maybe the person should will say to himself, I'll destroy the fruit. Since anyway the fruit is us the first 3 years, I'll destroy it in order to enhance the quality of the tree so it should grow better, so you should do that. Hashem will make it up to you. He'll bring a cause that the tree will produce even better in the fifth year. I know there are many drashas, but all of these drashas come to explain what appears here after the fact. What would have been had the pasuk, the Torah, completely left out the law of the fifth year? I don't think it would make any halach nafkemina. You'll find me. Okay, so the Torah is not a psychological. It's not a course in psychology. The Torah is telling you halacha. We derive psychology. There are many other places we can derive the psychological lessons. A bracha. And we'll figure that out. Well, the Torah will throw in a drasha somewhere, l'hoisiv l'chem bracha, the teacher that's going to be bracha in the fifth year. The Torah is elaborating, it appears to be disproportionate. A disproportionate amount of space is being expressed to tell you about year five. In Cheder, they don't teach you about year five. They teach you about year 1, 2, and 3. It's Arla. And they teach you that in year 4, it's Kiliak Harib. And that's where the class ends. The bell rings and you're out. You never hear in Cheder, I don't remember in Cheder teaching you, dealing with a tree, there's the first 3 years, and then there's the fourth year, and then there's the fifth year. There's no fifth. The fifth year is business as usual. What, you need to go tell me? What? No. There you're not, but there it's different. There you're not planting. There it's a whole different league. Okay, okay, I hear you. Okay, you're giving answers, but I want to try to say another answer. Okay, I am part of her. So I want to say a drush, and the drush is adarabba. The fifth year is the holiest year. In other words, as follows: there are different ways to come to serve Hashem. For example, kedusha, right? The kedusha. There's a positive kedusha and there's a negative kedusha. What's a positive kedusha? You take a little bit of estrog, a product of the earth, something that grows on a tree in Egypt, right? It's something, an estrog you got from California, and your hadassim you get from, where did the hadassim come from? Eretz Yisrael, okay? Eretz Yisrael. What? Tzvas, Eretz Yisrael, and your Aravas come from Munsi. So you have over here a nice collection. The Arba Kanfei Saaretz, product of the earth, all different parts of the earth. You bring all these products of the earth together, concoction, and you sanctify it. Asher Kiddushanu B'mitzvaysav. And then there's a Kiddusha of desist, stand back. Erva, there's a woman on the bus. Don't go on that bus. Don't go. There's a woman in the street. Don't go out there, Vaisai. Don't go out. Don't go out. Stay away. It's distance. There's kedusha that comes from hafrasha. Stay away. Danger. Danger out there. Two different types of kedusha. There's a kedusha of coming forward, and there's a kedusha of distance. Of distance. Two, there's different types of kedusha. Arla, fruit, really, this really is a mashal of everything that exists in this world. A tree is a person. Ki ha'adam eitz hasadeh. Fruit is the produce, is what man's the product of man's labor, man's creative labor produces fruit. The Torah says, when you're dealing with kedusha, there are three types of kedusha. The first type of kedusha is distance yourself. Learn how to control yourself. The first 3 years, you sanctify yourself, sanctify the fruit, sanctify the tree. Ki adam eitz hasadeh, the fruit, the product of this earth. Precious. Sanctity through separation. After 3 years, there's a new kedusha. Go to the extreme opposite. Take the fruit of the fourth year, put it on a pedestal, bring it up to Yerushalayim, eat it, the kedusha of it tahara. And then there's the highest level of kedusha. Be normal. Be normal. Just behave yourself, act like a regular human being. There are times in life the way you have to show Kedusha, stay off the streets. And there's a time in life you have to show Kedusha by being a kanoi. You got to go out and show Kedusha. But uvashana hachamishes, after you have the experience, after you know the extremes, you know the boundaries, you've been trained well. The Adam Kya'itz HaSodeh, the product, you've been trained, you know the boundaries. You know the Kedusha of distance, you know the Kedusha of sanctity. Now comes the real test. Now comes Uvashana HaChamishes. It's not Osir, and you don't have to go to Eretz Yisrael. You can go on the bus. Just keep your hands to yourself. Just behave yourself. Just behave yourself. Live a normal life. This is the greatest Nisayon. And that is what the Torah, that's what they don't teach you in Cheder. That's what they forgot to teach you in Cheder. That there's something called Uvashana HaChamishes. Toichlues Tivuasa. Eat the fruit. Not in Yerushalayim. Don't. This is the Nisayon of life. To find that healthy balance between Prishus and Kedusha. And if you'll do it, you'll succeed. Here is where you will find the ultimate bracha. L'hoisif lochem tivuasa. When you live a life, a normal life, a life of balance, this is where you're going to find the ultimate bracha. Okay, to conclude, last, very short vart, the parsha ends towards the end. V'hiskadishtem v'hiyisem kidoishem. Chazal darshan v'hiskadishtem mayim rishonim. When you wash for bread, mayim rishonim. V'hiyisem nikiyim. When you right before you bench, you buy this mayim rishonim and mayim achronim. So I once saw a beautiful drush. This pasuk is defining a person's life from beginning to end. V'hiskadisha means the mayim rishonim. What's the mayim rishonim? When the mother goes to mikvah before she conceives. Mother goes to mikvah. She goes to mikvah in preparation to do something l'shem shemayim, to have a child. Then when a person dies, before they return him to where he came from, mayim achronim, they toy the tahara. A person has to have holiness from the very beginning to the very end. From the mayim rishonim to the mayim achronim, a person has to be what this parish is, kidoishim tiyu, ki kodoish ani Hashem Elokeichem. Have a wonderful Shabbos.